In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome to the Football Writers Podcast. My name's Mike Calvin. I'm joined by John Cross of the Daily Mirror and Jonathan Northcroft of the Sunday Times. Barcelona are not at their best. Bayern won't play Arsenal every week. Real Madrid are probably favourites, but the Champions League is wide open. A tricky tie against Monaco, but John, could this be City's year?
We ask that every single year, don't we, I think? Yeah. Look, I don't think so, no. I'm really encouraged by the progress that City are making just in the last few weeks under Guardiola. It seems to me that Guardiola's philosophy is really beginning to kick in. Where I think City will come unstuck against the better class of opposition in Europe's top stage, really, it is defensively. I feel that the goalkeeper is still a worry, a weakness. Defensively, they haven't shored it up. They are getting much better, and I like the balance in midfield. You're talking about sort of Yaya Toure now. I also think that his partnership in deeper line midfield with De Bruyne is interesting. I think Silva's great, and going forward, fantastic. But still, defensively, they worry me. And I feel sure that Guardiola will address it in the summer, and they will become serious competitors, I think, both domestically and the European stage moving forward. But for this season, I can't see it, no.
I noticed Otamendi's agent was talking up a move to Real Madrid. Mm. Good luck with that.
Goodness me, yeah. I think he's lucky to be where he is. He's had a private battle with Funes Mori for the worst Argentinian centre-back in history. For me, I don't see him as a player. But in fairness, he's done better recently. I do agree with John. I mean, going forward, there's a lot of talent there. I think it's a terrible shame that Gabriel Jesus is injured, actually, because he had the ability, I think, to make a real impact in the next tie and in the competition. But there's still a lot of talent there at City. It just doesn't quite stack up at the moment in that sort of back four and goalkeeper area.
What about Monaco? Is there any chance that they could be underestimated? You know, City have been linked with half that team.
They do it every year, don't they? They get young players in, really exciting young players. I'm just thinking, you know, this is a team that had Carrasco, you know, James Rodriguez in recent years, and now they've got this brilliant generation, you know, linked not just with City, actually, half the Premier League. Bakayoko, I think, linked with Manchester United, Bernardo Silva, and then Mendy and Tamar. They've always been good at, and Anthony Martial was another one they had, they've always been good at getting the best young talent in France. They've also got links with a couple of prominent agents, which I think help them to some European talent. And they sell well. You know, I think some of these guys will come to the Premier League, but they'll come for the £50-60 million pound fees.
Well, the one they're talking about, John, is Kylian Mbappe, who the new Thierry Henry, or the latest new Thierry Henry. Picked up much about him?
Well, he looks an outstanding talent, and I think he's being compared to Henry because he's breaking records in terms of young goal-scoring feats and also playing style. He's got pace, he's got power. I mean, blimey, if he's got the confidence to match of an Henry as well, then you're really talking about a talent, because Henry never certainly lacked any sort of belief. I do think that I would like to think he'll stay there a little bit longer, because I do think under Jardin they are making such great strides. He's an outstanding coach, isn't he? Yeah. He's built a team that is so well balanced in terms of being able to create chances, from midfield to attack, they move the ball so well. I think Tottenham were guilty of underestimating them in the Champions League group stages. And I still look back and I think, well, if City are at their best, you know, Tottenham had enough chances maybe to do something. I think that's underestimating just what a good team that Monaco are. They've scored goals for fun and they create chances like no other team in Europe. They are the top scorers, and that they are going to be a very difficult team for City to get past.
And I'm amazed how he's reignited Falcao. Mm. I mean, the thought that guy could have another scoring run like he's having 24 goals for the season, I think athletically he's not what he was, but he's a great finisher, and Monaco play to those strengths, create so many chances that play some really, really sort of penetrating football. And I think, you know, anyone that can do that with Falcao, that's a mark of good coaching.
What about in the summer? It seems that this is where Pep will put his mark on that squad, that team. Still a lot of talk about Lionel Messi and £100 million transfers and, you know, £1 million a week or whatever it's going to be. Mm. Any credibility to that?
I can't see Lionel Messi turning up at City for £100 million. I do still think Messi's a massive talent, but I do just feel that he's at the top of the hill, going over the brow of the hill in his career terms. When I looked at that penalty on Sunday night, this is a guy who's still a big game player, because it might not have been the best or biggest opposition, but the pressure with a minute to go and to kind of take one step up and then absolutely whack it. The technique in that was astonishing. He's still an absolutely fabulous player. But I just think that Guardiola would be better served leaving that behind and building for the future. He's got 3 years at City, we certainly know that. And I just feel that moving forward, I think he needs to build a new team. Leave his Barcelona past in with the best one in the world behind. I'm not saying Messi wouldn't be a wonderful addition, but I just think to move forward and to create a dynasty and a legacy, I think that would almost feel like sort of kind of City going back to signing the ageing superstars. And I know that Messi's still got so much more to offer, but I just think that if City are to move forward, and I think they've got great potential in Sterling and Sane, Gabriel Jesus as well, I just think they need to do something with the fullbacks. The fullbacks are almost more important to me than signing any player like Messi, because they are integral to what Guardiola wants from any team. Yeah. And that everything starts with the fullbacks.
Well, there's a lot of talk about Mendy, isn't there?
Mendy, that's a profile, isn't it? It's going to be somebody young, dynamic. You know, Danny Rose has been linked as well, Kyle Walker. As John said, you know, you think of the great Guardiola teams, and they have that sort of Brazilian use of fullbacks, where the fullbacks are really sort of athletic and penetrating players. I don't think Messi will come. I think if there's one of those Barcelona big three that might be available, it's Neymar, it looks like, and I think City would look at that. But I'd expect that more realistically, I know when Guardiola came to City, he said he needed 10 signings. Now I think he's only had 5. But that showed that a year ago he had an idea of the areas he wanted strengthened. So I think it'll be quite strategic, and I think he will move on to that sort of back department.
And quite ruthless. You know, we've seen very that with ruthless. Joe Hart. Aguero as well?
Yeah, I think Aguero's coming, just to use John's expression, over the brow of the hill, really. This team just plays slightly better without him, even though he can still score. He's still, you know, electric in bursts. I don't quite see it over a game at the moment. And the team looked better with Jesus in it. So if they can offload the wages, which will be the issue with him, you could go.
OK, Leicester, you've written the book.
Blimey.
Fearless, what is it now? Flops, I suppose?
Feckless, I think it might be this season.
Yeah, they're in Seville on Wednesday night. Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, they're facing a team with bags of energy, bags of attack and intent, who themselves are on a bit of a sort of fearless run. And the Champions League's been keeping Leicester going. I know it's been keeping the fans going. They've had great trips, and Seville's another great trip. It's been keeping them going through a very dark winter. But I do fear that reality might bite them in this tie, as it did in their last group game, actually, in Portugal, when they got hammered by Porto. And I don't think they can afford a humiliation either. You know, the season will stand or fall by the last 13 or 14 Premier League games now. It's come down to that. In some ways, they need to focus on just getting out of relegation. But if they go into it with the Champions League adventure ending in a sour way. I think that's not going to do them any favours either. Yeah,
because let's be honest, John, they absolutely shriveled at Millwall in the FA Cup. What does that tell you about what's been going on behind closed doors?
What I thought was even more telling and incredibly damning was what Ranieri said afterwards. Mm. To raise the fact that his players had lacked the same desire and intensity and determination as Millwall players. Those sort of statements, I think, make a chief executive or a chairman sit up and take notice and go, well, maybe it's time then. Because the manager is effectively saying, I can't motivate these guys. Because if you're sending those players out onto the pitch without enough motivation so that they can't match the opposition in those terms, then I'm sorry, those sort of statements get the manager the sack. And I think that this last 16 tie has been saving Ranieri for weeks, because you've always got the Champions League to look forward to. I think they've been hurtling towards relegation for some time now. Look, I think you can't get away from the fact they actually played quite well at Millwall in the first half, but in the second half, they were beaten by 10 men by a League One team. Mm. And that says much about Millwall's togetherness and unity, that when they went down, when they lost that player, they came together. And showing the sort of spirit that Leicester lacked. And I think if they really get thumped by Seville, and then they basically also cannot rediscover in the next one or two games in the Premier League, then I think Ranieri is facing the sack.
Do you think you'll go?
No, I don't actually. I think the owners have made a decision on that one, to be honest. They're very loyal people. You know, they kept Pearson when he was bottom of the league going in to April. And they made clear over the last couple of weeks that he's staying, whatever. So I think there's a case that he's doing badly enough to be lucky to still be there, but it's not going to happen. And it was interesting for me what Nigel Pearson said recently. A lot of these are Pearson players. And he was interviewed recently and he said the players have got to sort this out, the dressing room's got to sort this out, which was a double-edged comment, really, because it was kind of saying the manager ain't going to. But I think he was also calling out the players that he knows really well, that they're just going to have to get on with this. And there has been a bit of a disconnect between the dressing room and the manager, I think, at Leicester. But the players are going to have to get over that.
Because you hear these stories. Yeah. Like on Saturday, you know, we're getting stories now that, you know, the old lags at the back of the bus let the kids off first and the foreign players off first to get the welcoming committee from the Millwall fans. That tells me that something is fundamentally wrong.
Well, did you see Morrison's comments? The Millwall striker about Ben Chilwell? Ben Chilwell didn't want to carry on taking the throw-ins because he found it too intimidating.
That's really unusual, because he did him in cold blood there, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's hung him out to dry there. I mean, it is a damning remark. I mean, Chilwell's an outstanding young player who's, you know, destined for a great career. But the old head of Morrison has absolutely killed him. And I'm sorry, but that reflected through Leicester's second half performance, because they didn't want to know. I think Ranieri's upset the equilibrium to my mind of that of that togetherness in the dressing room with bad signings. Look, I know it's not all falling on him and the choosing of the players, because obviously Leicester is sort of kind of many factions into who we sign and what they sign and what they go for. But there's no doubt about it, there's too many signings, too many bad signings. That dressing room looks to me, it's the clear for everyone to see that they're not fighting on the pitch. And I'm sorry, but that magic and that spark has gone. And it's basically leading them all the way back down to the Championship.
That would be desperate, wouldn't it, John?
Yeah.
If we look at it, managers, you know, they take the plaudits. They're always, you know, on camera, as it were. Pep Guardiola said an interesting thing about Arsene Wenger about the virulence of the criticism and that lack of respect for, you know, what we all agree is a fantastic football man.
Yeah.
Do you get that? And what impact do you think it's having on Arsene Wenger?
I've read with interest what Pep said, because he has come from the outside, and I think it's worth listening to him, because I don't think he's got an agenda when he talks about Wenger. I think he's talking from the heart there. The problem is, though, that we're talking about a spectrum here. There has been some stuff that is very disrespectful to Arsene Wenger recently. There's been people gloating about his demise. And Wenger's always produced a strange set of emotions, I think, in English football, because he's different. There's always been people wanting him to fail, I think. There's always been people who've wanted Arsenal to be kind of shown up a little bit because they don't quite play as they expect. And I think there's a lot of glee at the moment and he doesn't deserve that at all. But I also think there's a lot of quite reasonable, informed criticism from people who've backed Wenger for a long time, from ex-Arsenal players, from people who understand the club. And I wouldn't like it all to be tarred with the same brush. Wenger's clearly upset. He's clearly riled at what's happened to him recently, and he clearly does care, clearly does sort of take it to heart. But it surely is the point where he must be criticised now. Reasonable criticism. I think he deserves reasonable criticism. I think people have stayed off criticising him, actually, for quite a long time. But Pep maybe doesn't know that context.
Don't want to write his obituary too early professionally, but how should he be remembered, John? Because obviously you know him really well, having, again, written a book on him.
I think he should be revered as a trailblazer, as Arsenal's best and most successful manager they've ever had. I think he's a fantastic individual as well. I do think he's, you know, isn't he? They have temper tantrums and so on. But he's also got a great sense of humour. I think he changed Arsenal Football Club, but he also changed the face of, I think, English football. He made it trendy to have a foreign manager when it was absolutely frowned upon and laughed at, and people dismissed the very notion. Can you believe that? Mm. It's like a different world. But Wenger made that possible, I think, to my mind. He has gone toe-to-toe with the greats, with first Sir Alex Ferguson, then Jose Mourinho. And I just think in that first 10 years, that's how I think he should be remembered. Unfortunately, obviously, the following 10 years wasn't just about winning trophies. It was also about building a new ground and trying to find their level at a new ground, but also trying to be competitive. And he did that, but he did that without perhaps necessarily winning trophies. So he enjoyed them for the first 10 years as the best manager that they've ever had. And the next 10 years, he shaped the biggest change in the club's history. And I think to kind of deride that is just wrong and disrespectful. However, having said all that, I do think it's a little bit stale now, and it just...
Is he ready to leave? In his own mind, is he ready to leave?
I'm split on that. My view is that I think he probably will go. And I know that people around the club think he's going to go. Having said that, I think if he has a remarkable turnaround this season, does something incredible like winning the FA Cup or finishing second or third, then I still think that he might be tempted to change his mind again. But the problem that you've got is that so many of the fans have changed. And even the Wenger loyalists, I think, even if he went out with a glorious farewell this season, I still think even they would say, well, that's a great... That should be the point where he says goodbye. And if he stays on another 2 years, I think it would be a mistake, because it would go nuclear and it would be poisonous and toxic. And that would then destroy the legacy and the memories. Mm.
He wants to manage. Mm. He says he's going to manage next season. Where?
Well, there's an obvious club that you know, he's always seemed attuned to in Barcelona that may have a vacancy. Enrique's in a bit of a tailspin there. And it's not too outlandish, because, you know, he brings great calm and authority, which is what, you know, a club in troubled times would need. He also is just fabulous at working with ball players and, you know, the passing game. So there's a lot that he would fit with Barcelona. And, you know, he's going to want the big challenge. He's not, if Arsene Wenger moves on to something else, it's, you know, it's not going to be sort of West Brom or something like that. He's going to want to do something at the top. So I could see that kind of thing. I don't think he's never given the impression of fancying international management. So I think it'll be a club job. Mm. PSG is the other obvious one, but they're doing rather well at the moment. So,
yeah. What about Jose Mourinho? You know, he's talking about a new deal at Manchester United already, which to me tells me he feels secure in his surroundings. You know, a job only just in the early stages of being done. What's your take on how he's attacked the whole Man United job?
Well, it's taken him time, actually. And now it feels like there's a momentum, and it's almost like a juggernaut moving in one direction, and it's looking ominous. And I think very impressive too for United. But I still think he's sort of a pragmatist, and I still think he'll get results playing his way and his brand of football. I think that he is making great strides, and he just seems happier in his own skin, whereas I thought he was bitter at the start of the season when when results weren't necessarily going his own way. But
it's probably more recent than that, the last sort of 6 weeks maybe.
Yeah, I think it has been a change around. I mean, they did seem stuck almost, it felt like, in mid-table for 2 or 3 months because they made a bit of an indifferent start and it was taking a while to get going. I still feel that the squad probably and the team needs a bit of surgery and I still think they can strengthen a lot. But if you can get 2 or 3 in the summer, I still think they can finish top four this season. That's in front of them. Definitely they can, because their recent results and their run has been impressive. Next season, I think, having badly tipped them again, my punditry skills useless, hopeless again, but I thought they'd win the league this season because of Mourinho factor. I definitely think they'll be in the mix, properly in the mix next season if you can do the right business.
And got a nice quiet little FA Cup quarter final, Manchester United at Chelsea.
Yeah, goodness me, I know. And, you know, that was his worst day as Manchester United manager, was undoubtedly that day at the Bridge where you wondered where it was all going for him. There'll be a few psychological tricks. In fact, he's already talking about it, isn't he? He's already saying, well, Chelsea have already won the league. They've got nothing else to look at except this FA Cup. And
yada, yada, yada.
Exactly, you know, it's all started. But, it's not a Mourinho team yet. That's what I'm quite impressed with it, because I think what he's done is he's put his winning mentality into the side. It's taken a while, but he's, you know, keynote signings like Zlatan and Pogba have helped him do it, and they've now got that thing that you associate with Manchester United mentally. It doesn't look to me yet like a Mourinho team in the sense that they're not his players. Mourinho teams are always power and pace, you know, really physically overwhelming sides, and I think United still the least in the running stats. I think there's quite a few sort of slower players. I think you look at the signings he's looking at, it's kind of big athletic midfielders and maybe another centre-back. So I think the spine will get stiffened a lot more next season. It'll be a lot more of a powerful team. So the fact he's been able to do what he's done this season without really, you know, his kind of design, I think next season you'll see the real Mourinho team. And at one point I wondered if there'd be a next season for him, but yes, John said it's going in a certain direction and it's a pretty successful one at the moment.
What about Chelsea? League and Cup double coming up?
I think they can do it. I think it'd be a great thing for Conte to target. I mean, absolutely all day long they'll be champions, because I just think they're the best team in the Premier League. They're the best prepared team. Their level of performance is great. They're so hard to beat. They've scored goals. Their creative players are playing at their best and playing really, really well. He's a great man manager. I think he's terrific, Conte. I've absolutely fallen in love with the fella. And I just think if you set a target, why not be ambitious? I thought they were really impressive at Wolves. And I think basically if you want to kind of do something a little bit different, a little bit extra, that winning that Premier League and FA Cup double, it's not quite the achievement it was back in the day in the 70s and 80s when it seemed that extra special. I still think it defines a team as being extra, bit different, and kind of really going that extra yard. That everyone wins the Premier League, but to win the double, I think, is still something really special. And I think Conte's got that within his squad and his abilities.
Talking about, you know, all our yesterdays, Johnny, the FA Cup, reports of its demise have been grossly exaggerated, haven't they? I thought the weekend was fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's look at Lincoln. That's just a wonderful story, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's from heaven, that story, isn't it? It's just remind us what that competition's about. And, you know, they've been turning over good sides. They've been turning over tough sides. You know, they play some a blend, I think. I think there's some very sort of clever coaching ideas in there. You can see how well their set pieces are sort of worked out. But they're using a few old school players as well.
The big boy up front.
The big lad up front and mixing it in that old school way, which tells me that the Cowley brothers are clever fellas, because they know where the strengths of that team is. They've added their sort of ideas to it. And they've gone to places like Burnley, you know, that's maybe the toughest Premier League side in terms of work rate and mentality and so on. And they've outdone them there. You know, they've won ties over two legs, as it were, with Ipswich. It's brilliant. Totally deserve where they are. Fascinated to see where those two brothers are going in their careers, because they've done well at other smaller clubs as well.
Yeah, because it is. Management is a fashion business, isn't it? And, you know, they will get offers because of this. Where would they be best suited? sort of an ambitious League One club or something like that?
Yeah, I could see that, actually, just because they seem to have a different dynamic, don't they? It's a different approach to management. And I think it would take just a bold and someone different in League Two, or I don't want to be disrespectful, or League One, just to sort of say, look, you know, come and work with our football club, basically. It's definitely because of that kind of partnership and that ideal, it would definitely take someone with an idea and try to do something different at that football club. You have to say, I say League Two, why would you kind of, you wouldn't give up on that, on their current job, I don't think, unless you were making a sizeable step up, because it's clear they are building something decent at Lincoln, aren't they, as well? It's amazing.
It's a brilliant dynamic, isn't it? The brothers. I mean, I interviewed the Koeman brothers last year, and Ronald made the point that, you know, as a manager, there's very few people you really feel you can trust because it's so cutthroat. So you need someone you can trust, but you also don't need a yes man. You need somebody that can tell you you're wrong. And your brother's exactly that person, isn't he? You can see how that really works. Didn't maybe work so well for Martin Yall. I think he tried it with Cocky Yall. But the Koemans it really works for. And you can see there's a slightly different character with the two Cowley brothers. So maybe that'll be the next fashion.
Yeah. And, you know, if we're talking about managers, you know, we talked about Barcelona earlier on. You know, Pochettino is being mentioned in dispatches for Barca as well. First things first for Tottenham. They've got a great FA Cup tie on the horizon, but they've got to end that Wembley hoodoo against Ghent on Thursday. What's about there? Because it doesn't seem to add up.
I do think it's become such a problem that there's no doubt about it in my mind. It's almost psychological because they haven't won the FA Cup now since 91, and they've lost six semi-finals since. But we always laugh, don't we, and say, well, Tottenham are a good cup team. Well, not lately they haven't been. I know they've won the League Cup since then, but it is strange, and I think it plays on the players' minds. I think they're partly to blame themselves because I think they did do a bit too much resting and rotating in the Champions League, whereas I thought they should have just gone out and tried to win the games. And I think it was so important for them to make that next step through the Champions League into the knockout stage, because they've lost a little bit, I think, in that season. And Pochettino, in fairness to him, has recovered it quite nicely, thank you. But I think it was clear that Pochettino thought it was so important that they won at Fulham that he's dispatched the kind of the notion of going under strength, gone full strength. And I fully expect him to do exactly the same on Thursday night, to say, look, there's no room for complacency here. We absolutely have to go and win. And I think one really morale-boosting win, when it really matters, I think at Wembley, will hopefully put all that to one side and kind of lift the mood again. I think it's so important that Spurs win on Thursday night to rediscover some kind of momentum and form, because everything's in front of them. They can go and win the Europa League, and they can go and win the FA Cup. And I do think that, obviously, everyone, I think, would fancy them finishing the top four. This is such an exciting season for them. But they have to overcome that Wembley hoodoo. And they're starting with a win on Thursday night.
As John said, confidence is going to be really high. And that does tell you that players want to play.
Yeah, it does. But Spurs to me, they're a young team, young manager, brilliant promise. But they haven't won anything yet. They haven't actually succeeded in the really big moments. And you think of the league last year, saw them at Liverpool a week and a half ago, big moment for them, failed there, done it in the Champions League. So I think until they get over that hurdle, I'm not saying they can't, but they haven't done it yet, and Pochettino himself hasn't done it quite yet as a manager either. Until they do that, I think there'll be questions in their mind. Great appetite, yes, I want to play. But let's see them do it. I think that's for me the question about Spurs. Because if they can't do it this season, can't win one of those competitions and finish in the top four, I think they're going to need something else. Maybe a couple of experienced players just to help that brilliant talent they've got along. That's something on the pitch that Mourinho brought when he brought Zlatan. You know, because I just wonder if there's quite enough nous in that team at the moment.
We've got Zlatan at Wembley on Sunday in the first final of the season, League Cup final against Southampton. I think it's 10 seasons now he's scored more than 20 goals each season. How long can he go on?
Well, I just think it's phenomenal. Without doubt, next season as well. Mm. It was interesting, when he was flirting with Manchester United, when he was still at PSG last season, he was making it absolutely clear, age is just a number, I'm getting better with age. Mm. And we all thought, oh, no about that. But look at these goal returner. Mm. He's absolutely quality. And you're right.
And he will love Wembley, won't he?
Well, he will love Wembley, and Manchester United go to Wembley, but it's almost like a sideshow. This is Zlatan. It's basically, you know, I am Zlatan at Wembley. Forget Man United. Zlatan can take centre stage. He's that good. He's just fantastic. He's exactly what United needed. He's a megastar in the Cantona mould, isn't he? He's taken them again. He's lifted the club. He's an inspirational sign, an inspirational player on the pitch. He can score big goals under pressure. I just can't see him finishing any time soon. He's magnificent. It's great for the Premier League to have a fully fledged megastar as well.
Talking of megastars, Wayne Rooney. Now, it looks like he's got dentistry problems, hasn't he? So he might miss this game. Still a lot of talk about him going to China sooner rather than later. Do you think that will happen?
I think it's a possibility, definite possibility. Whether sooner, I think he'd like to finish the season at United. Ideal world for him, he goes in the summer, does something in the summer, whether it's China or somewhere else. But if money talks enough, maybe. I'd like to see him in this game. I'd like to see him as a captain, get another trophy for them. I think he's been through a lot and probably deserves a bit more respect than he's had this season. And I think he's played an important role in the squad too. But long term, he can't sit on the bench. Yeah. And the thought of being with China, I have spoken to people around Wayne, and the thought of being a pioneer, the thought of being somebody that blazes a trail there might just appeal. And he's got a big sort of following in China already. He's always been popular there. I've seen him on Man United tours. I think they've always responded to the fighting spirit as they've seen it of Rooney. So it's not as outlandish a possibility as putting some English players together with China. For him, it might just fit.
If it's make your mind up time, Southampton, I've always been impressed by Romero. I think Chelsea probably let him go too early. Mm. Are they good enough to beat United in a one-off game?
I think they can beat United in a one-off game. I don't think they will. I think United will just have too much experience and nous for them. I think the fact that United play Wednesday rather than Thursday is quite significant and does them a major favour. Why can't we do that with other games and other clubs? I think it's a bit of a shame, but it's a fantastic lift for United. That Poyle's really interesting because I don't think that he initially convinced me, and I don't think Southampton were. I think Southampton were a little bit nervous about who we appointed here, but you can certainly see his methods are taking shape. And I think he has improved them. I think since they've reached the final, again, I think they've slightly taken their eye off the ball in particular games. But he is making a difference, and I think he's improving them. And I think they can, I think they can give United a really strong game. But I have to say, I do fancy United.
So it's United for you. What about you, Johnny?
Can Gabbiadini play? Can he? He's a tremendous addition for them. I think he gives them a chance. But United would be where my money would be, especially with Van Dijk not being there, as Zlatan factor. But Puel will try and keep it 0-0 and try and nick something. And if they can make the chances, Gabbiadini could do it for them. Fence setting, but it'll be United.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder, is history trying to tell us something? Cast your mind back. 1976 FA Cup final. Man United, heavy favourites. They lose 1-0 to Southampton. Thanks for joining us here on the Football Writers Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.